This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today.
Last week, we found out that the church is the most important institution on the face of the earth. The church is the most important institution on the face of the earth because it is God's plan for how He deals with the earth today. The church is God's only plan for what He is doing in the world today. And therefore, the church is the most important institution on the face of the earth. And we found out, in fact, that the church is the body of Christ. It is His body. And in order to accomplish anything on the earth, He works through His body. That's His plan. That's His desire. And guess what? Who's the church?
We are
the church. Well, we said that the church is the body of Christ. And when Christ went back to heaven, He didn't stop doing what He was doing on the earth. He said, I'm going to do it from now on through my body. And therefore, if we're going to understand what the purpose of the church is, and therefore our purpose, we need to look at what was Jesus doing when He was here on earth. I'm going to tell you today that there were only two things that Jesus was doing on the earth. Now, He did many things. But there were only two things that He primarily came to accomplish. One of them was to go to the cross and die for our sins, doing what nobody else could do. But here's the second thing, and here's where we come in. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then He said to them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed Him. When He said, follow Me, what was He saying to them? I want you to come and be My disciples. And then when He told them, I will make you fishers of men, what was He telling them? Not only will you be My disciples, but through you, I'm going to draw more disciples to Myself. In other words, the second thing that Jesus did was to make disciples. But not only to make disciples, He made disciples who had the ability to make more disciples. That's what it's all about. That's where the church comes in. What is the mission of the church today? What do we need to be doing to carry on the work that Jesus carried on? We need to be making disciples. Go over to Matthew chapter 28, starting with verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, you know what that is? That's Jesus' marching orders to His church. Go and make disciples. Focus on that word go for a moment. That word go is an active word, isn't it? Now, kind of look around. How many people do you see going? Now, what are you doing? You're sitting. How many of you know you can't sit and go at the same time? Amen? Because He's not talking about being on a bus. He's talking about you got to get up and go. So that's an active word. The church is supposed to go in order to carry out His purpose, in order to fulfill the reason that Jesus left us here. We got to be moving, folks. Amen. Can't be sitting down. Praise God. You know, I kind of been promising that we're going to get more comfortable chairs, and that will come. Praise God. But you know what? This is not so bad because we don't need to get used to sitting down. Amen. We need to be ready to get up and move, because there's a world out there that the enemy is doing his thing on. And they are not going to just open the door and walk in. If we don't go, how will they know? Amen? If we don't go, how will they know? Go and make disciples. Now catch this. Everything that happens in the church ought to be wrapped around the mission of going and making disciples. Suppose you walked in here next Sunday, and when you walked in the sanctuary, you looked up here, and there was a barber chair over here. And I said, well, you know, people have not been tithing as much as they need to tithe, and we need to, you know, supplement the church's income, so I'm going to cut a little hair on the side here. After the benediction, anybody need a haircut, you just come right on over. Now, is there anything wrong with cutting hair? No, but what's the problem? That's not the purpose of the church. That's not according to purpose, amen? And if it's not according to purpose, it's out of order. It's not the way it should be. So we're not going to have any barber chairs in here. We're not going to have any chicken dinners that we sell to raise money and all that stuff. Why? It's out of order. It's not according to purpose. If there's anything that goes on in the church except what is wrapped around the purpose of making disciples for Jesus Christ, it is out of order. Whatever we do in here, whatever you are involved here, should be for the purpose of making disciples. If you're sweeping the floor, what are you doing? You're making that floor clean so that when somebody walks in here who needs to hear about Jesus, they won't be distracted by a dirty floor. We have the fellowship time back there, and you're serving food or serving drink to somebody. What are you doing? You're making an opportunity for people to fellowship with believers so that they can find out, yeah, I want to be part of this family, making disciples. And if the church is doing anything that does not fit into that role of making disciples, it is out of order. That's what we need to see ourselves as. Disciple makers. Catch it. Anything that we do in the church is either valid or invalid based on whether or not it contributes to the mission. And what's the mission? Make disciples. Make disciples. You know something? That's ultimately how you evaluate a church. How effective is it at making disciples? Go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now catch it. What is the goal for which he instituted the church? Put pastors and teachers into the church. What's the purpose? In order that we might grow up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What does that mean? That we would be like him. Isn't that right? That's the purpose of the church, to make disciples who are becoming just like Jesus. And that's the whole purpose, that we would become like him. And the way you evaluate a church is not on how good the choir is. If you all were evaluating us on our choir, I'd be here by myself today. Amen? Amen? No, not how good the choir is, not how beautiful the building is, not how wonderful the can I say it this way and not offend anybody? How wonderful the show is. Amen? That's not how you evaluate a church. You know how you evaluate a church? Are disciples being made? Are people being brought to Jesus? And are they learning how to walk with him and to grow up in him and be developed in him so they become the kind of disciple that he intended for them to be? That's how you evaluate a church. I praise God for this building. Amen. But you know, we started in the hotel. And people came to the hotel. They didn't come to the hotel because it was so nice. Why did they come? They came because the word was going forth in a way that it was having an impact on their life and helping them to develop as disciples of Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line on the church. That's what it's all about. Are you becoming equipped to be a disciple of Jesus? Now catch this. If the church is to make disciples, who is the church? We are. So if the church is to make disciples, guess what? We got to be disciples. Isn't that right? Go over to Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse 21. Let me show you a law that God has put in place. Genesis chapter 1, verse 21. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Now the key phrase there is, according to its kind. When God created anything, he created it to reproduce according to its kind. In our backyard, we have some fruit trees. Let me tell you, those trees back there, we have not gotten an apple off of those trees yet. Because they're cherry trees. Amen. Now, if I want apples, what do I need back there? I need some apple trees. And if I got cherry trees, wouldn't I be a fool to think I'm going to get apples off the cherry tree? Why? Because it reproduces after its kind. Well, guess what? If we are the church and the church is to reproduce and make disciples, what does that mean? We're going to reproduce after our kind. The only way that the church can make disciples is we've got to be disciples. Go over to Luke chapter 6, verse 40. Here's another principle to catch hold of about the way things work in the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 6, verse 40. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. I'll catch it. A disciple is going to become like the one who disciples him. That's what the word is telling us. Amen? Now catch this. We're going to have a bunch of new people coming into this church. That's what our outreach is all about. God's going to bless that. We're going to have a bunch of new people coming into this church. And when they walk in, who's going to disciple them? Let me tell you who's going to disciple them. You think it's the pastor? I'm going to do my part, but guess what? They're going to be discipled by you. Now, we can start getting scared about this, because catch this. The people who come into this church are, to a certain extent, going to model themselves on the people who are already here. And who is that? Amen. When they, what they see you do, what do they say? That must be the way it's supposed to be. Amen? Why? Because things reproduce after their kind. So catch it. Whatever kind of disciple you are, that's what's going to start to be reproduced in our congregation. Now, is that scary? No, we want it not to be scary. We want it to be something that we can rejoice about. Why? Because we're becoming the disciples that Jesus wants us to be and created us to be. Understand, we are going to reproduce ourselves. So what does that mean? We got to get to work to become what it is that God intends for us to be. Catch this. Because in order to produce disciples, I got to be a disciple. And to produce good disciples, what? I got to be a good disciple. My first responsibility as a church member is to personally grow and develop in the things of God. I asked you why you're here today. Well, understand, one of the major reasons for you coming here needs to be you are committed to growing and developing yourself in the things of God. You're committed to becoming the kind of disciple that Jesus intends for you to be. Look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Look at verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you catch what it's saying? In order for you to fulfill the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life, you've got to be transformed. How many of you would admit you could use a little shaping up? Amen. How many of us would admit we could use a lot of shaping up? Amen. Amen. You see what it says? It says, number one, I have to present myself. I have to give myself, all of myself. When it says give your body, that means you, all of you. I have to come before the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Take me, mold me, shape me, make me what you want me to be. Here I am, Lord. Use me. I commit myself to him, all that I am. But he can't use me the way I've been. I've got to be changed. I've got to be transformed. And how do I become transformed? It says, so that I don't follow the world anymore. So that I'm not conformed to the world. This world that is under the control of the devil. That's where I come from. And if, in order for me to be transformed, what's got to happen? The renewing of my mind. Amen? You see, that's why you're here. That's what this is all about. The purpose that Jesus put his church here for is to make disciples. And in order for you to become a disciple, number one, your mind has to be renewed. You got to think different from the way you thought. Amen? You got to have a whole new way of walking and talking and behaving in the world that is transformed by the word of God. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself to godliness. Exercise yourself to godliness. That's what it takes. When you accepted Jesus Christ as the Savior and the Lord of your life, that was not the end of the story. That was the beginning. When you got saved, that put you on the road to becoming a mature disciple of Jesus Christ. It was the beginning. And what is it going to take to get from here to there? It says you got to exercise. Amen? Got to exercise. I use that example a lot. When you exercise, what do? You do reps. You do the right thing over and over and over again. Now catch this. When it says that we are to be trained in godliness, what does that mean? We not only have to do it over and over and over again, but what do we have to do? The right thing. The right thing. In every circumstance that you face in life, we have to begin making the right choice and do it over and over again. And how do we learn how to make the right choice? 2 Timothy 2:15. Somebody ought to be able to tell me about that verse. 2 Timothy 2:15. Come on, spiritual foundation classers. Be diligent, study to do what? Show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, because you can do what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. The only way you're going to be able to do it right and not be ashamed is what? You got to learn to rightly divide the word. You see, all of that is what the church is here for. You won't find that out on the street someplace. The only place that's going to teach you and develop you so that you can rightly divide the word and put it into practice in your life and exercise and exercise and exercise until you get it right is right here. That's what the church is for. And that's why it's so important to be here. Because catch it. If you're not in church, what can the church do for you? Amen. If you're not here, what can the church do? I mean, you know, I love to see you all, and it's wonderful to look at your smiling faces. Praise God. But that's not the reason I'm concerned that you be here. I'm concerned that you be here because if you're not here, you're not being discipled. You're not growing and developing the way you should, because that's the job of the church. Well, if that's the issue, how do I then cooperate with the church in order to become that mature disciple? Go back to Matthew 28. Look at verse 18 through 20 again. If my priority is to personally grow and develop in the things of God, so that I become the kind of disciple who can make other disciples for Jesus, how do I start that process? Matthew 28 again. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." How? Number one, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What does baptism signify? In 1 Peter it says it signifies the answer of a good conscience toward God. In other words, baptism speaks of what's going on in your heart. Amen? It means that you have accepted Jesus Christ as the Savior and the Lord of your life. And now to give testimony to that fact, to identify with Jesus publicly before all the world, that's why you go down into the water. What's the next thing? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Teaching them. In other words, if you're going to be discipled, you've got to be taught. That's what the word says. Have you ever known somebody that nobody could teach them anything? They felt like they had it, they knew it, they didn't need your help. Anybody ever known anybody like that? In other words, what? In order for you to become the disciple that God means for you to be, you got to have a teachable spirit. You can't come in the church saying, "Look, I already know all that. You don't need to tell me all that. I knew that 20 years ago." No, what do you come saying? I've got an open heart. I've got an open mind for God to teach me something new to me today. Because guess what? You can read the same scripture passage 20 times. I can preach on the same scripture passage 20 times. And you know what the Holy Spirit can do? He can give you something fresh every time. Amen? If you've got an open heart, if you've got a teachable spirit to hear the word and then the commitment to apply the word in your life, the Holy Spirit will give you something fresh every time you hear it if you've got the right spirit. So, you got to have a teachable spirit. Then look at the next thing it says. Verse 20 again, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. That word means observe. That word means to do it, to obey it. Teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. What does that say about the role of the church in making you into the kind of disciple that can make good disciples? We got to lead you not only into knowing what's right, but what? Into doing what's right. Amen? Got to lead you into not only knowing what's right, but doing what's right. Who has absolutely no musical knowledge? You never played an instrument. Let me see your hand. Okay, come on, Tony. You're elected. Come on up here, brother. I want to teach Tony how to play. No, it's not hopeless. Okay. I want you to play, Tony, the first phrase of "Jesus Loves Me" in the key of C. And here's how you do it. You start on G, that's the first note. The next two notes are E. Then you get to hit a D and then an E. And that'll do it for you, all right? Okay, you look a little confused. Let me tell you. G is the key that is the second key in a group of seven, where there are three black keys and four white keys. All right? It's second from the bottom. That's where you want to start. Okay, go ahead. But wait a minute. I told him exactly what to do. All he has to do is follow my instructions, and he's got it. But, well, let's try it this way. Tony, put your hand right here, your thumb right on that note right there. Okay? And put all the rest of your fingers like that. Take this little finger here and go. Okay, now take this one here,
the third finger. Right there, okay. Hit it again. Okay, hit that one right there. Okay. Okay, and then hit this one right here. And hit it again. There you go. Wasn't that easy? Now catch it. I can stand in front of him all day trying to explain how to do it. Isn't that right? What's the easiest way for him to learn? I got to show him. I got to show him. Not only do I have to show him, but what? He's got to do what I tell him to do. Isn't that right? I can explain it to him, and he can say, I got it. I understand. I can repeat everything you said to me. Still can't play a note. Amen? Or I can show him how to do it and say, Tony, okay, hit this one and hit that one and hit that one and hit that one and hit that one. But until he obeys what I told him to do, he can't learn. When the scripture says we are to become disciples, not only does that mean that we've got to be exposed to the word, we've got to learn the word, but what? We've got to be shown how to put it to work in our lives. Amen? Now, you may have noticed something. Tony was fumbling a little bit, you know. And what did I have to do? He was putting his finger in the wrong place, and I had to kind of move it over here and move it over there. And sometimes, you know, just move the finger for him, all right? What does that mean? In order for us to grow and develop the way we're supposed to, sometimes we got to be corrected. Isn't that right? Sometimes we put our finger in the wrong place. Sometimes we're trying to play the wrong note. And somebody in the body has to come along and say, no, not that way, this way. And what does that mean? We got to have a teachable spirit that's willing to allow somebody to tell us when we're wrong and show us how to be right. That's the only way we can become the kind of disciple that Jesus created us to be and that he wants us to be, in order that when people walk through that door, they're going to have the right example to follow instead of the wrong example to follow. Here's my challenge to you today. Here's what this whole thing is all about. We need to see ourselves as growing and developing disciples of Jesus Christ, committed to doing what it takes to become the kind of disciple that Jesus can point to and say, yeah, follow them as they follow Christ. That's who you want to be. And when we become that kind of disciple, then God's purpose in the church will be fulfilled, because his purpose in us will be fulfilled. And the work will get done, people's lives will be changed, and the devil will find out he is not in control, because Jesus is Lord. Amen?